TCL ever. Is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
Myron Metcalf back here for another Friday, Myron on Hoops, with my man Declan Goff filling in for Manny Hill, who was out celebrating his birthday. Beautiful day in Minnesota. I hope people are getting out, having fun, leaving work early, and just enjoying the weekend, man. That is always the goal. So I'm obviously a sports junkie. You ever have weird conversations with people who aren't sports junkies? Like, is it hard to relate sometimes? Like I talk to people about how much sports I watch, and they're like, well, how? Well, I'm just not watching This Is Us, and I'm not watching some of the other shows that you guys might be consuming. But obviously, I watch a lot of basketball, a lot of sports. I'm watching the Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Clippers last night. And Kevin Durant, Declan, dropped 38 points in 30 minutes.
Good Lord.
It was one of the more fascinating displays I've ever seen. Took 23 shots. In his first, 14 minutes, he had 26 points. It's amazing to see how dominant he can be when he wants to be.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he is an unbelievable scorer, an unbelievable player. I mean, you can make the case he is second to LeBron, right? I mean, you can make the case he's the second best player in the NBA. And I'm curious where he's going next year, man. I'm very, very curious.
Everybody's trying to figure that out. He's telling people not to ask him that question. But when you see him play like that, it reminds me, man, eighth grade, I was actually a decent basketball player among eighth graders in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we made it. I played in this playground league in the hood, right? And we made it to the championship. We were the Milwaukee Bucks. The team we played was the New York Knicks in the title game. Now, we had defeated the New York Knicks earlier in the season.
Obviously,
right? We beat them.
Yeah.
So now we're all getting ready to go and play the championship game. And we look to our left, Declan, and this van has shown up with new members of the New York Knicks playground team that we have not seen before. One of them was 6'7". And that's when we knew we were in trouble as eighth graders.
Yeah.
We knew that whatever had happened in the first game was not going to happen in the second game. You know, nobody was checking, but these kids were on the team. They destroyed us. That's what it looked like for Kevin Durant. Like, it's almost like he embarrasses other good players. Like, the Clippers, obviously, they're not a team full of stars. And,
no.
You know, this is a squad that I think Doc Rivers deserves a lot of credit for how far he's taken them. But when you watch one player dominate a bunch of guys who are some of the best players in the world, it's fascinating to see that, Declan.
No, for sure. And those Golden State Warriors are a very good team. Obviously, everyone knows that. And even though they lose that 31-point game to the Clippers, whatever, you know, everyone just I think the Warriors probably looked at that loss too, and I didn't hear the post-game comments from it, but I'm sure they were just like, yeah, whatever, next game. And that's kind of their mindset. That's kind of how they look at a lot of things, and I kind of admire that. But with Durant, I mean, the Warriors were already an amazing team, and then they get Kevin Durant. I mean, it wasn't even fair for the rest of the league. So the fact if he stays there, then we know that Golden State dynasty really is going to be locked in for another 3 to 5 years at the very least. And if he goes somewhere else, then that's what intrigues me. Where, I mean, I don't know where you have him maybe going, or if you're more lingering on him staying in Golden State, but I'm just super intrigued by NBA free agency this year, knowing where he's going to go is going to be the talk of the town.
Well, the thing with KD is this. After this year, I think he'll have 3 championships.
Right.
So you've got a guy with 3 rings who, in terms of legacy, there's nothing else to prove. If you never win another title,
yeah, right.
Nobody cares.
Right, yeah.
He's 30 years old. You got a 30-year-old who, between his Nike deal and his career earnings, before he signs his next max contract, is worth close to $500 million.
Good Lord.
He's made $200 million already off NBA money. He's got a $300 million deal with Nike. So this is a guy who, you know, there's just no pressure. And it's hard to compare him to a past generation because Michael Jordan didn't get paid until his final 2 championships, right? Michael Jordan didn't get a ton of money until he wins his 5th and 6th rings. Before that, Michael Jordan was making his money off Nike and promotions, and guys weren't making that kind of cash. So you couldn't be 30 years old in that NBA and feel like, you had nothing to play for. Maybe you didn't have anything to play for in terms of titles, but you would have had something to play for in terms of income. This is a guy in Kevin Durant who could retire today and will go down to me as a top 15 basketball player of all time with three championships and $500 million in the bank. That's why it's hard to know or gauge where he might end up, because he doesn't face any pressure. He can do whatever he wants. He can go to New York. He can stay in Golden State. My sense is I think he ends up in New York. And I think that's troubling for a couple of reasons. It's great for the NBA, and I'm all for the NBA having another great player on the East Coast. I think the league needs it.
Yeah.
But for if you're a Timberwolves fan and this ongoing what will happen with Karl Towns, who's in the middle of a max deal, you know, is not going to make any noise if he ever does about leaving for at least 2 years. But when you see a great player like Kevin Durant who's going, you know what, playing with other great players, that's worked out for me. That's great for my career. It's only going to encourage that next generation of guys. That's why I just have a hard time believing, I'm a Milwaukee guy, that Giannis is going to stay put, that Karl Towns is going to stay put. Yes, I think they'll play out their contracts, but I also think they will realize the only way I'm going to get what KD and some of these other guys have is by linking up with other stars. And when you see a guy in Kevin Durant who could have his own team, Declan, who could do his own thing,
yeah,
wouldn't need to play with anybody, and would still be able to lead a team to the playoffs, play next to three other all-stars, two for sure, I think, future Hall of Famers, and probably three. It's hard to believe that a Karl Towns, as loyal as he might be, is going to be content with potentially not contending if the Timberwolves can't find a way to build a team around him.
Yeah, and Carl, that worries me too, because I mean, like you said, he's locked in, right? He's not necessarily going anywhere for five
no,
more
can.
Years.
Yeah, he can't.
And he's not the kind of person that's going to pull a Jimmy Butler and try to make it things about him and pull out this big charade. I just hope that the Wolves can do something here and I think it's more they're going to have to do some trade. They're going to have to do some magic, honestly, because they have cap room. They have some money to spend, but you're locked into two max contracts with Wiggins and Towns, and we already know the problem with Andrew Wiggins, and so that already limits you. So can you do enough to prove to Carl that, look, we're putting you in the right position to succeed? I know you were on last week, and you were talking about how crucial it is for them to get the next PBO, right? Because look what the Bucks did. They, you know, I mean, you know that team inside and out, but they changed that whole culture, and maybe, just maybe, they're going to be able to convince Giannis to keep him more than they did just last year, right? I mean, maybe they're going to be able to do that. So that's what you're going to have to do with Towns. You're going to have to give him the right situation and the right players. I mean, the players are the one thing, but it's the culture, I think, you're going to have to enable that's going to make him want to stay in Minnesota and believe that over not the next 4 years, but over the next 10 years, that I could win a couple championships here. That's what you're going to have to convince them of.
Yeah, any Timberwolves fan, if someone comes to you and says, oh, your team has no hope, your team is doomed, you all can't make a run, any Timberwolves fan, if that's what someone says to you, just point to Milwaukee. Point to the Milwaukee Bucks. If the Milwaukee Bucks can do it, similar markets, similar situations they had, this bright young player trying to find a way to draft accordingly, to build a team around him accordingly. The Timberwolves can do that. And I'll always say that because I think Karl Towns is just going to keep getting better. And as Karl Towns, to me, by the end of this max deal, he'll be a top 10 player in the league. If you look at the next guys who are going to get older, the Chris Pauls, the LeBron Jameses, get older, fade out, Karl Towns, to me, is going to be a top 10 player. So you have that. That's a great starting point. Now can you build around him? But what you're up against, and Milwaukee's up against this too, because if Milwaukee doesn't succeed this year in at least getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and being competitive there, how do you sell Giannis on staying long term? You've got the number one seed in the East. You've got the best defense in the league. This is your moment. The East is vulnerable. LeBron James is gone. The Golden State Warriors just blew a 31-point lead. They never looked this vulnerable. If you're Giannis and the Bucks, you know that this is a window that you have to capitalize on. If you're Karl Towns, the thing you're fighting is, hey, Karl, we want you to have enough patience to give us time to build around you, Declan, but you also have to know that that's also when Karl might start looking around and going, yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen here. And then you get an Anthony Davis who goes, yeah, 2 years before my deal is up, you all should trade me because I'm not coming back. And people go, oh my goodness, how can you do that? Well, in a way, he was helping the Pelicans and letting them know that they weren't going to get him long term. And you don't want to reach that point with Karl Towns. The Pelicans were a playoff team a year ago.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis makes that demand. So if you're Karl Towns and you haven't had these consistent runs in the playoffs, that is going to be a situation where you got to find a way, because this offseason is maybe the most crucial offseason in a decade or more for this Timberwolves team. Karl Towns, can you convince him that what we're seeing in Milwaukee, what we've seen other places, you can do that here in Minnesota? Because if you can't, when he watches a Kevin Durant play next to All-Stars, when he watches some of these guys who join forces together, I don't think a young guy like that goes, oh, it'd be nice to play with a Giannis or someone like that.
Right.
I think he says, I have to play with those guys because that's the only ticket to a championship.
Correct. And with the Wolves, it's the Wolves and Bucks situation is so different because, like you said, with Milwaukee, they kind of got to show it now that they can make a run, at least to the Eastern Conference Finals and make it competitive. Where with the Wolves, it's almost like, hey, can you do one more year maybe of not making the playoffs as we try to wreck the ship with our draft picks and with our free agency and with some trades possibly? Because you need to buy in that we're gonna help you out long term. And right now, I don't know if the Wolves, even if, let's say they have a very nice offseason, they re-sign Derrick Rose and they're able to make a trade here and there, and they're competent, but they're the eighth seed, you know? And do you really want to be the eighth seed in the Western Conference in 2019-2020? I don't know if you do. So you're going to have to try to convince them, like, this is going to take maybe another year or two before we're back at it. And I know, isn't NBA free agency... this year is pretty decent with Durant headlining, but next year it's terrible.
Yes,
so you got to be patient with it.
Yeah, next year is the $5 bin at Walmart, where like with the DVDs, where like you got to fish around. Like there might be a Forrest Gump in there, but you're gonna get like a whole bunch of Olsen twin movies on top. So you gotta sift through that thing to get a good DVD. It's the ongoing battle. This offseason matters. Everyone knows that. And Karl Towns, who was at the Nets game last night, I believe, was at the Brooklyn Nets matchup. This is a guy who knows his power, and he sees a Kevin Durant and sees these All-Stars, and he's going, man, if I get what they have, I can do what they're doing right now. The Timberwolves have to slow that process and convince him that he can win here. The Gophers are trying to win here as well. And Richard Pitino, to me, how he finished the season, A+. You know, it all happened in a matter of weeks. They were out of the NCAA tournament. Then they jumped back into it, beating Purdue a couple of times. Looking at how Purdue played in the NCAA tournament only makes Minnesota look even better.
True, yeah.
They beat that team. They went toe-to-toe with Virginia in the Elite Eight, beat Tennessee. I mean, that's a team that they beat, and they beat them convincingly twice. The other situation, though, for the Gophers is recruiting. And Matthew Hurt, the kid from Rochester, is going to make his decision today. I don't believe he's already made it. All signs point to Matthew Hurt, the five-star kid, picking Duke. You know, people are already making projections about how good they are going to be when he picks Duke today. I think we all assume that's the case. And obviously, if you're a Minnesota fan, you go, why not the Gophers? And here's what it comes down to. The next phase for the Minnesota Golden Gophers is to produce NBA talent. And to find a way, and it's not you have to be Kentucky, because that's just outrageous. You don't have to be a team that sends a guy to the first round every year. That's not reasonable. What you do have to do is select the kinds of players who can emerge and develop into NBA-level talents so that you can say, hey, look what I did. A good example of that is Wichita State. Wichita State is a team coached by Greg Marshall. Fred VanVleet plays for the Toronto Raptors, coming off their bench, just got a bunch of money, $30 million, I think. He just signed a deal for sort of an unheralded three-star guy. And now Landry Shamet is a huge piece for the Los Angeles Clippers. First-round pick out of Wichita State, three-star kid. Minnesota has to identify those guys. And I think once you can start sending guys to the league, that's when the Matthew Hurts, who still probably don't come because – you know, they're like Kevin Durant. They want to play with other stars. So they go to Duke. They go to North Carolina. They go to the five-star blue-chip schools. But that's how you convince some of those guys that, hey, I can play at Minnesota, and still go to the league. There are a whole lot of people who resist that, Declan. Well, these kids shouldn't be so focused on the NBA. They shouldn't be focused on the pros. Okay, fine. I shouldn't be focused on a cupcake, but guess what? I am.
Yeah.
You know,
and
you
it's don't sweet and I want
me,
it.
Yeah. You don't need to tell me what I'm focused on. These guys are focused on, and I'm only talking about the five-star kids. They want to know what's the quickest, most guaranteed path to the NBA. And if you have a school that has a track record of sending guys to the next level, you're going to get those guys, get the attention of the Matthew Hurts that you can't get now, because for them, they're going, the last guy you sent to the pros was Chris Humphreys.
Right.
You know, you need another guy, a couple of guys to evolve into NBA talents. That's what Richard Pitino would really help him.
Yeah, and you know, he's done a good job at getting the four stars, right? I mean, he's gotten some really good players here. I think that's the misconception is like, oh, Richard Pitino, he can't get any of the big name recruits. Well, like, you're competing with Duke and Kentucky. And look, if I can go back to my days at St. Paul Central and I was a good basketball player, which I wasn't, but if I was a basketball player and I had those offers either to stay here or go to a true blue blood, I'm jumping ship, man. I'm going over there. Of course I am. And that's just the way the culture was back then. And maybe we're going to get to a point where Richard Pitino can build it up and make you're able to attract those five-star recruits like a Matthew Hurt. But right now, it's just not the case. And that's just the way it is. I think you just kind of got to accept it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, people characterize it the wrong way. It's not that Richard isn't going after those guys. It's not that he's not recruiting those guys. It's those guys know they're in a class where, listen, a year from now, I can be a millionaire playing in the NBA. And that's what I'm trying to do. Where can I go to develop into that? And that's why the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Kansases, those schools have that track record. But listen, you know, here's the other thing. You're competing against teams that, you know, when Tyus Jones got recruited by Duke, I remember going to a tournament and the entire staff at Duke showed up in this black SUV with tinted windows. Coach K, the whole deal. They were on the baseline. The whole staff, right? Everybody knew that Duke was getting Tyus Jones. Come on. They were putting the full court press on Tyus. That's not the position that Minnesota's in right now. But if an Amir Coffey develops into an NBA player, Daniel Tour, if some of those guys can develop into NBA-level prospects, that's to me where if you're Richard Pitino, you can go and say, look, I can not only give you a quality program that's going to be in contention for the NCAA tournament, I can guarantee you that we have other guys who've gone pro and made a bunch of money, because that's what the Matthew Hurts of the world are looking for. And Declan, can you blame him?
No, I can't.
Can you blame a Matthew Hurt for saying, hey, look, how do I get to the next level? How do I turn pro and become a guy who fulfills his dreams playing at the next level? We don't knock these kids when they want to go to Silicon Valley and become tech gurus and to start their own companies and to do things that may not require a college education. We don't knock those kids, but it's suddenly when you're a kid who goes, yeah, I'm 18 now, but by next year at 19, I want to be in the NBA. Wait a minute, get your education. Are you sure you're ready? All these kids, they don't care about school. No, these kids care about their careers and they're good enough to make money now. Richard Pitino has to get those guys so he can convince other guys that coming to Minnesota is a way to get to the NBA.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what you're going to have to do. It's a funnel system. If you can get the four-star guys and they're going to be, and you can see that, all right, as a 12, 13-year-old, and I'm a stud in an AAU team or join a varsity team, that, all right, I'm seeing the people above me going to Minnesota. Maybe there is something here. Maybe there is something about the culture that's changed. And I think that, yeah, like you said, that's going to be the way that you really get the five-star recruits eventually to land here in Minnesota. I know our man Bill just called in, and he had some thoughts, too, on the topic, if we wanted to go into break or if we wanted to come back with that as well. But he's on hold right now.
Let's talk to Bill quick. Bill, right. I want to hear what Bill has to say.
Bill, you're on.
Thank you. Hi, Myron.
How you doing, Bill?
I love your show. I listen to it every Friday. So I really appreciate that, Bill.
I do it for you, man, and the people listening.
So here's my thought. And it goes for the girls and the boys. So if these guys, like a Suggs and Hurt, if they're truly five-star recruits, aren't they going to get to the NBA no matter where they play because they're so good? And then my second question is, instead of hearing about Duke and, for the girls, UConn, why can't the kids realize that if they all, like Amirsa and Arturo and Gabe Kalscher did, if they just team up together, stay in Minnesota, why can't they see that this could be the next Duke? Even if Pitino maybe isn't good as good a coach as Coach K, let's say that for a minute, maybe they're so talented that they can still win the national championship if these kids are that tremendous. And I'll just hang up and listen to your response off the line.
That's a great question, Bill. He asked, you know, if these guys are five-star kids, they're going to go to the NBA anyway. And then number two was, why not join forces together? I want to get to that, and we're going to get to it after the break. We'll come back after this. Myron Metcalf back here. Myron on Hoops. Declan Golf filling in for Manny Hill. We had a caller, Bill, earlier who asked two very good questions. One was, and we're talking about Minnesota, Golden Gophers, in terms of what the next step is for Richard Pitino. He said, if you're a five-star kid, it shouldn't matter where you go. I think that's valid. And I think if Matthew Hurd is an NBA prospect and he goes to Minnesota, I think he is still an NBA prospect a year from now. The difference is, and this is to me, you can look at LeBron James for this. These guys see the value of playing with and against the elite players. That's why they go to Kentucky and they go to Duke and they go to Kansas. It's not just about the teams on their schedule. It's about who you're seeing every day in practice. It's about playing against other future NBA players. And that's not something that Minnesota can give a Matthew Hurt right now. So, yes, if you're a legit five-star kid, you know, Kevin Durant went to Texas. Didn't really matter where Kevin Durant went. Kevin Durant could have gone to Minnesota State Mankato, and he still would have been a lottery pick. But I think these young guys see, you know, hey, yeah, I'm a five-star guy, I'm an NBA talent, but I want to play with other guys like me. And that's kind of what that's about, Declan.
No, I feel you there. And you know, I think there might be something, you know, I don't know if Matthew Hurt could go to Purdue, right? Like, I don't know if he could go to Purdue and maybe he'd still be obviously a highly regarded draft pick, I'm guessing. But I think there is something about having Coach K in Kentucky and people coming after you that is really more attractive than the maybe the more passover flyover states. I think there is something there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's hard to say no when you get that kind of an offer. Also, these young guys want to get there fast. And in their minds, they don't want any delay. And this is a challenge for a lot of these guys. They want to be NBA players right away. And we know that's not usually the case. A lot of guys who are in the NBA right now didn't get there as lottery picks. They got there other ways. Role players are so important in the NBA. None of these kids want to be role players. But the reality is, to last in this league, unless you're a Durant or a Karl Towns, you're probably going to be a role player. So I agree with that. The second point about these guys joining forces, I think they're doing it. Arturo and I think Kalscher, I mean, this is a great move for Richard Pitino to show, look, you can get to the tournament if you stay home. But to me, you're going to need that next class of athletes, the Matthew Hurts, the Trey Joneses, those guys who've left town, the Jalen Suggses, guys like that, to say, okay, we're staying home and now we can compete for a championship. Maybe it's not even a national title, a Big Ten title. That's the next step if you can get those top level 2, 3, 4 guys to stay home. And Richard Pitino has an important year coming up to prove that he can do that, especially if Amir Coffey comes back. If they somehow get Suggs, it could be a fascinating ride for the next 2 years. But while we were on break, there was a little bit of news that I think we have to discuss, Declan.
Yeah.
Chauncey Billups, according to Shams at The Athletic and our buddy John, is going to interview in the near future with the Minnesota Timberwolves for their general manager job. And that is huge. Chauncey Billups right now is a talent with ESPN, works on NBA Countdown. I mean, I work for ESPN. I haven't been around Chauncey that often. But I will tell you, you know some of those guys where you go, okay, you know, he can't be that good, right? He can't be that perfect. I've never heard a bad word about Chauncey Billups. Like everyone you talk to about Chauncey Billups internally at ESPN, Declan, they all say he is a great guy. They all swear by his basketball IQ. So if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves and you're meeting with him for your president of basketball operations role, it's a smart move. I mean, it's a smart move because even if you interview him and even if he's the guy but decides to go elsewhere or not take the job, he's got a pretty good job in TV right now. You don't want to get through this process and have people saying, what if, or why didn't you? You know, that's important for the Timberwolves. You want to at least go after people, even if you know they might say no, to prove that you are making every effort to get the right guy. But in terms of a splash hire, Declan, if you get Chauncey Billups into that role, I think you would deflect a lot of the who is this guy drama that you're going to get if you hire someone without the same name recognition. And I think you'd also have someone that, I mean, he could lose it, but I think he'd have automatic respect both in the locker room and in the front office and within the team and the franchise. And I think among fans as well, I get in terms of making a pivotal hire, making sure people are excited about this move, I understand why you would hire or go after a Chauncey Billups.
Exactly. And I know some people might be scared off a little bit, maybe that he doesn't have the front office experience, but we were talking about, you know, enabling Karl-Anthony Towns and connecting with him. And I think that is the most important part, is making Towns happy. And if that means that Chauncey Billups is that kind of guy that can enable Kat and can convince Kat that what we're building here is something special, that trumps, you know, Milton Newton's, you know, experience or some of these other guys' front office experience. And I think it would be a great hire for the Wolves. You know, yeah, he might not have the experience, but he might just be the right guy for this situation that the Timberwolves so desperately need.
I don't think you get a lot of people who would be upset. I mean, to your point.
Sure.
I don't think there'd be a lot of people who would say, oh man, how could you make that decision, right? But I do think sometimes when you get caught up in the guys who are on TV right now, they have an advantage, Declan, because we see them a lot, right? And on TV, TV is a great place to look really good,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a great place where you're well-spoken, articulate, you dress nicely. You have all of these advantages on television where you can portray the image of someone who knows what they're doing. Now, that doesn't mean you can do it, but you certainly have the image of someone who can do it, which is why all these ex-coaches go on TV. It's because what are they doing when they go on TV? They're talking to teams. They're talking about football. They're on a TV set every Sunday or every Saturday, whenever it might be. And they look the part of someone who can be a leader. That's why they go on TV. And Chauncey Billups has used that to his advantage. I think Chauncey Billups would be a splash hire. And if you agree or disagree, 651-646-8255, 651-646-8255, or 1-877-615-1500. Definitely a splash hire, Declan. But
it'd be huge.
We cannot get away from the experience element. You cannot get away from the idea, and Chauncey Billups is my colleague at ESPN. You cannot get away from the idea of, do you want to go with someone who doesn't have the front office experience in a situation where in the next 3 to 4 months, that person is going to have to make decisions that could affect this organization for the next decade, right? Because if you don't make the right draft pick, depending on where you're slotted, and now you don't bring in the talent that you could have if you would have picked the right guy, and now Karl-Anthony Towns is doubting whether or not this is the place he needs to be, and now you've got to figure out Andrew Wiggins and that contract, and you don't keep Ryan Saunders, there are so many things you got to decide as soon as you get that job. So if you're a Timberwolves fan, oh, wow, you're going to have a parade for Chauncey Billups. He's going to make all these headlines. He'll do all these shows. And guess what, Declan? He's going to sound great in the first 2 to 3 weeks on the job, because you're going to feel like, as a Timberwolves fan, we got Chauncey Billups. We got him to leave his great job at ESPN to come work with us. Great. But then it gets real. You've got to make some serious decisions, Declan, that will affect this franchise. It's not like you're handing him a situation where you've got this established team and this established culture, and he's only got to make a few tweaks here and there. You've got a coach you can trust. This guy is coming in with a blank screen, and he's got to decide how he wants to fit this thing together. Can you really trust a guy who doesn't have any front office experience? That could be the challenge with a Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, for sure. And like we talked about earlier, it's kind of about this is a difficult road that the Wolves are on here, because you're not going to be able to get instrumentally better. At least I don't think you can this summer. You can get better, but you're not going to go from missing the playoffs to a top four team in the West. You're not. So this is going to be a little bit of a process. So whether it's Chauncey Billups that, you know, it might sweeten that length of time where maybe fans are like, all right, you know, we're going to get Chauncey and this is exciting, but I guess this is more of a long haul patient kind of a thing, where instead, if you got someone that is well established and it's maybe not as sexy of a hire, and you're kind of thinking you're dragging your feet on it, you know, it's weird that it's almost the same thing where we know this is going to be a long road, but your hire can maybe spark life into a fan base more than the other. And even though Chauncey Billups has less of experience, like you said, Wolves fans would wake up. He only played, you know, a couple seasons here, but
yeah.
Wolves fans and NBA fans know who Chauncey Billups is. He was a very decorated point guard and player, so they know who he is on TV as well. I would be ecstatic if they got him. I think it would be great for the Wolves, and I think, you know, even though people might not like this, I think Carl's input and the player's input is vital too to this situation. If you're going to hire this guy, you're going to have to make sure that Carl is pretty much on board with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Carl definitely should be in that room, and you definitely want to consult him if you get to the point where you're hiring Chauncey. I want to know what people think. Is Chauncey Billups the right fit for the Minnesota Timberwolves? 651-646-8255, 651-646-8255, or 1-877-615-1500. I know how this market operates, Declan. I know how this market is, and I know exactly what will happen if they hire Chauncey Billups. The first 2 to 3 weeks will be glorious. Hmm. Oh, my goodness, he's come back to save the team. Carl Towns will say all the right things about him. You know, and if you're Glenn Taylor, you've got a guy where if you tell people, I trust Chauncey Billups to make all the decisions for this organization, in those initial weeks, nobody's going to doubt that. Nobody's going to contest that. But then as we approach these pivotal moments, who your coach is going to be, what you're going to do in the NBA draft, what trades you might make, who you're going to re-sign. You've got a contract with Andrew Wiggins that at a minimum has to be addressed. And you're going to have to discuss that if you're Chauncey Billups. Are you prepared for all of those things? This is a domino effect here, man. This is not just one decision. This is 4, 5, 6 decisions where if you get one of those dominoes wrong, you could set things back for years. You have to get this right this summer. And I'll say that for the rest of the summer. You've got to get this right if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves. And if you bring in a Chauncey Billups, we're all going to say great things about Chauncey Billups, all of us. But a month from now, will we feel the same way? That, to me, will be the question, man.
Yeah, it's a lingering issue over the season. And it's important to get this hired too before, you know, before the draft and before free agency. And you can't really drag your feet with this hire. You kind of got to get on your horse here and let it buck. So with Glenn Taylor, you know, the luxury is he will give you the keys to run the car, and he's mostly just going
to
sit in the passenger seat.
That's what he wants to do.
And that's what he wants to do. If he has to get in control, that's when we have issues. You know, that's when the Timberwolves have run into some problems. But if you're a GM or if you're a candidate for this PBO job, you're looking at Glenn Taylor, and fans probably think this is wrong, but I don't think it is that he will let you. It's an attractive place to be because, yeah, you're so hands-on and he's so hands-off. Not many owners are just so passive with what they want to do. So I think that also helps the search that whoever Glenn Taylor hires, they know that, hey, I'm gonna have a kind of a leash here to create something I want to do. I mean, look what he let Thibodeau do what he wanted to do. And you might say, yeah, that didn't work out. But look what he was able to let him do. And I think that's important to let the powers of be in position of power.
But Declan, isn't that what people are going to say? I mean, look at the power you gave to Tibbs and look at what happened.
For sure.
Like, isn't that going to be the response? Like, wait a minute, man. You gave a guy the keys to the truck. And where's the truck? It's in a scrapyard somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing, but that's a delicate balance. If you're Chauncey Billups, You don't come here without power. And I don't blame you. You don't take this job if you're not going to be given the keys to the truck. But that truck has some issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's making a noise under the hood. There's a nail in the tire. You can't keep the pressure up. The seatbelts don't work. There's a lot of things that you're going to have to fix in that truck. And if you've never had to fix a car, if you've never had to fix a franchise, yes, you've been a part of franchises that were fixed, but you've never actually been hands-on and actually done it. Is this the first job you want? And we're going to talk more about it after this. Is Chauncey Billups potentially the right guy for the Minnesota Timberwolves right here on Myron on Hoops? Myron Metcalf back here. Myron on Hoops on Score North, scorenorth.com, Declan Goff. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful Friday. I hope everybody has good weekend plans, enjoying this weather. I don't know what the weather is tomorrow. I think it's nice tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah, at least tomorrow. Today and tomorrow are supposed to be beautiful.
Okay.
Patio season, man.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, man. It's the way to do it, man. It's definitely the way to do it. Chauncey Billups, per reports, interviewing in the near future with the Minnesota Timberwolves, former player here, a guy who I think he's known, Declan, in terms of NBA analysts on TV, as a guy that people generally regard as pretty smart. Great opinions, great perspectives. We all know who he was as a player, won a championship, very decorated individual. But are we at the point in society when it comes to sports that we just assume that if you're on TV, you can do a job? I mean, you look at the Oakland Raiders and them hiring Mike Mayock, who was basically an analyst on TV in NFL Network, who's now like legitimately the GM of the Oakland Raiders because John Gruden just kind of believed in him. This could be a similar situation with a Chauncey Billups who's had other interests. I mean, this isn't he's had offers before this. So clearly there's something about him when he steps into a room that people appreciate. But can the Timberwolves afford, Declan, to have somebody who just doesn't have the experience when there's such a messy situation here?
Yeah, I think it has to be the right person. I think that's what it has to be. You can't just let, you know, another David Kahn situation happen, right? I mean, where they hired someone who clearly was unqualified for the job. Now, so far with the candidates that they've looked at, it looks like they're trending in the right direction for the first time in the history of the universe, which is great. But with Chauncey, I think it's a younger guy that, even though he doesn't have front office experience, I think he connects well with Carl and the players. Yes, there might be some pushback there, but I think it'll be really good. Hire.
And here's where the value comes for me, right? This is a different kind of generation. And we saw that with the Lakers hiring Magic Johnson. It didn't work out. Magic is just too rich to have to deal with Lance Stephenson. Basically, is what it was. It was like Magic. Everyone's like, "Oh, why would Magic leave?" Magic is worth $600 million. Okay, when you're worth $600 million, at least so I've heard, you don't care about little trivial things. And people were getting mad. They were like, "Well, Magic doesn't always come into the office." Oh, he doesn't? I'm sure all of his friends who are worth $500 million don't go into the office very much either.
Right.
That's kind of what those billionaires tend to do. But I think the idea was, if I get the face of the organization to be someone with that charisma, with that legacy, with that connection, he's going to find a way to entice free agents because they're going to want to play and be around a culture that he leads. So that to me is how NBA teams today are attacking free agency. They're going, if I'm going to be able to have a sit down with a Kevin Durant or a Klay Thompson or Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris or all these guys who are going to be available this summer, they're saying you need someone in your front office that these guys can relate to. And it used to be you just wanted your GM or president of basketball operations, Declan, to just be a smart money guy, to make good decisions. You just wanted him to be a guy who put together a team that didn't go too far over the salary cap, that didn't put you in a bad position long term. You wanted him to be able to think value. Today in the superstar generation, you're going, okay, how do I attract a big free agent to come here and play with the best guys I have now? How do I go out on the free agency market and get some of those guys? And you need someone with charisma. You need someone with brand recognition. Chauncey Billups has all that. So at a minimum, I think not only in the locker room, Declan, but certainly when it comes to free agency, he won't get, because the Kevin Durant and the Klay Thompsons, those guys set their own rules. He won't get those guys in that tier. But the next tier, that to me is why you hire Chauncey Billups. Because even if he can't get those guys, I think he can get meetings with those guys. And if you can't get a meeting with those guys, you don't have a choice. But if you can sit down with some of these guys, there is at least a chance. Paul George didn't even meet with the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, like, he did not even meet with his hometown team. A guy grew up idolizing Kobe, did not even meet with the Los Angeles Lakers. If you get Chauncey Billups, you're going to get guys who, even if it's just out of respect, even if it's just a courtesy, Declan, they're going to say, okay, let me go up to Minneapolis and see what Chauncey's talking about because I respect him enough to give him my time.
And that's what it's all about. You have to change the culture if you're Chauncey Billups or whoever the PBO is. You're going to have to entice free agents and entice people that they want to come here and play for the Timberwolves. And with Billups maybe watching this from afar and him also being a former player, so maybe there is, you know, some decent relationship there with him and Glenn Taylor. Maybe that says something too, that Glenn Taylor sees this as, all right, yeah, this guy might not have any front office experience, but I knew him as a player. I've seen him develop and move into a different role outside of the league. And look, this guy was also picked to run the Cavs, what, 3 years ago? Or was in the running to run the Cavs, and he backed out.
I think he had the job and didn't want it.
Yeah, and
it was right there.
And he backed out. So that also says something, that other teams have come calling for him for the same kind of position. And I'm very interested if he gets here, and what can he do to not only just enable Carl, but to get the most out of this roster, whether that's in free agency or trades. That's his biggest move he's got to make.
Declan, would you call it, if you hire Chauncey Billups, is gamble an unfair word? Is it a gamble? Is that unfair?
I don't know if that's a good question. I would not say it's a gamble. I don't think it's a gamble. I think even though he doesn't have the experience, I think it's a sexy enough hire that it can, that he's going to be expected that he's going to be able to do some cool things. So I don't think it's much of a gamble.
You think most fans would see it as a gamble, though?
I think a good amount of fans would probably see it as a gamble. I wouldn't be surprised.
See, and I agree with that. I think most fans are going to see it as a gamble.
Yeah.
And then here becomes my next question, Declan. Can this team in this position in April 2019, can this team afford to take a gamble if that's how it's viewed? If you get a Chauncey Billups, and let's say we all agree that Chauncey Billups is a really bright guy, he's a really smart guy, we see him on TV, we know what he did in his career, he was known as a leader on the floor, known as a leader to his teammates, we always understand that about Chauncey Billups. Nobody questions his IQ or leadership qualities. The experience, though, was a real thing. So if most fans would view him as a gamble, the next question, I believe, has to be, is this a Minnesota Timberwolves team that is in a position to gamble on someone without front office experience? That, to me, is going to be the major thing going forward, if this thing even evolves. If it even evolves to a point where Chauncey is offered the job and wants the job. But if you get to that point, and he doesn't have the experience, and it's viewed as a gamble, can this team afford that? Are they in that position, or are there so many decisions, vital decisions that have to be made, that they just can't put themselves in a situation where they're gambling on anybody, Declan? But do we have a caller?
We do. We have Steve on the line.
Steve, what do you got, Steve?
Steve, go ahead. Is Steve there?
Yeah.
There he is.
14 years not making the playoffs, and we're concerned that they might have a gamble on a Chauncey Billups, who seems to be a pretty bright guy. He can bring in analytics people and statistical people. I mean, I don't know who determined that Mr. Big Box Score Wiggins, who's super inefficient, obviously he doesn't have an A motor, he has a B personality. They determined he was good enough to get this max contract or whatever they gave him. Let's give Billups a chance. I mean, we got the worst owner in the league. History will dictate that he is by far the last 20 years the worst owner in the league. But the fact that he is willing to, I don't know, he gave Thibodeau a chance. I mean, the players grew tired of him. They actually made, I'm not a Thibodeau fan, they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Something they hadn't done in nearly 15 years. What's the risk?
Yeah.
What, they're not going to win the NBA title because they bring him in? I mean, crazy. You got to be kidding me.
I think you make a great point, Steve. I mean, that's the flip side of my argument, right? Like, is it a gamble? But at the same time, can this team really afford to get too picky? My thing is, Steve, I just feel like there are important decisions that a president of basketball operations has to make. And you can be very bright and you can understand the landscape and still have no experience in those situations. And that's going to be the thing. Do you trust a Chauncey Billups with no experience to have to make some of those vital decisions here in the next 3 to 4 months that could shape really the future of your organization? That's what we have to figure out with a Chauncey Billups.
No, that's true, man. I think it's going to be a very, very big summer for the Wolves with who they want to hire, because it's crucial to what they're going to be doing for the next 3 to 5 years.
Just hope it's not a Magic Johnson situation,
right? Yeah,
Magic.
Well, that'd be awful.
Like Magic apparently wasn't really in the office, and he is the Lakers.
Yeah,
like he is the Lakers, and if he wasn't as committed to the job as we assumed he would be, man, that's. I sometimes wonder with these guys who are doing other things and they get comfortable doing other things, but they assume they got to get back into basketball, right? And then they do, and they're like, oh, it's kind of cool to be on TV and to come into work. You know, and I mean, Chauncey works hard on TV, but it's kind of cool to be the countdown to NBA guy and to be an analyst and to watch games. And to the coaches I know who do it, who've done it after they've gotten fired, they said, I get to go all over the country, talk to teams all throughout the league. I get to mingle. I get to watch a lot of ball by being this sort of neutral figure. They love it. They love it. And in 2019, Declan, you can make a ton of money in TV. You know, this isn't 20, 30 years ago. I'm not saying Chauncey Billups is making more than what the Timberwolves would pay him, but I assure you he's making some good coin to do what he does on TV. Does he want to get back into sort of the 9 to 5? Well, really, with this job, this is the 9 to 9 in the morning. I mean, you get in at 9 a.m., you're there till 9 the next morning because you're trying to figure out Andrew Wiggins' contract. But does he want that, Declan? Do you want to give up the situation you're in now to deal with a huge undertaking here in Minneapolis?
For sure, and that's something Chauncey's going to have to answer. I mean, the TV gig is nice, and that's a nice gig to have. So if you can if you want to sacrifice that comfortability to run a front office, because that might be something he's always wanted to do. So you never know.
Thank you, Declan, for filling in for Manny Hill. Thank you all for listening. As always a joy to do this on Score North. ScoreNorth.com. Have some fun. Enjoy your family and friends. We'll be back next week.